We're Rick's backup since we shouldn't be on, but we're here.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, hello. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Sue. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
Ray.
Mute, 6, 3.5, 8.
Hi, Wesley.
Unmute.
How are you?
Voice disabled.
Doing okay.
Okay, good. My microphone works.
Awesome.
Because I'm on a new browser.
Hi, Steve. We'll start the meeting momentarily and be with you shortly. So,
hey, Zach, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Steve, I noticed a IU mug on your desk the last time you visited us. I did my undergrad there.
Ah, I did too, and I have a daughter there. Who's just finished up her sophomore year.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Are you from Indiana?
No, but for some reason I moved there from Los Angeles thinking it'd be a great adventure.
Well, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. And that's how I ended up in Tucson. I never wanted to see snow again.
Oh, well, you know, my daughter, we're Midwesterners, where my daughter's going through a little bit of that now because she spent, 6 or 7 years here. So that's, I told her, suck it up. She'd get used to it.
All right. We are at 3:30, and I do believe that we have quorum. So, Stephanie, if you want to, I think you have hit record, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So it is 3:30 p.m. I am Commissioner Zach Coble of CODI. I call this meeting to order. We will go right into our first agenda item, or second agenda item, but if we can do roll call first, though.
Absolutely. Sue Krager?
Here.
Derek Espadas?
Here.
Zach Colbel?
Here.
Ray Jordan?
Here.
Lily Bogan?
Here.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Here.
Thank you. We have quorum.
Thank you, Stephanie. So the first substantial agenda item is consideration and possible approval of our minutes from April 2024 meeting. Did commissioners have a chance to look over those minutes? I'm seeing nods of the head. Do commissioners have comments or changes that they would like to make? Okay. Seeing shakes of the head in the negative. I would be looking for a motion from a commissioner for approval of those minutes.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Derbyshire. Can I get a second?
I second it, Commissioner Krager.
I heard Mr. Jordan, I did see you, but since Ms. Krager was quicker on the verbal, we have a second on the floor from Ms. Krager. All in favor, or Stephanie, please take roll call, because I'm forgetting.
Sue Krager.
Yes. Sorry.
Derek Spadas?
Yes.
Zach Colbel?
Yes.
Ray Jordan?
Yes.
Lily Bogan?
I'm going to refrain from voting. I wasn't there in last month.
Okay. Wesley Derbyshire?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Stephanie. Okay, the next item on the agenda is following up with the discussion with SunTran representatives, especially in regard to the November 2023 memorandum addressing this commission's concerns. I believe I see Sean, Ms. Mangan, Mr. Mangan, Mr. Spade, and Mr. Crownshield on. So thank you gentlemen for coming on. I would like to kind of open it up. If you have something to mention, like if you have the memo handy and you want to mention some stuff, some progress from that memo, that's helpful. Otherwise we can kind of open it up to the floor to ask questions. It's kind of up to you.
Zach, if you like, I could maybe I've got the November memo. I can at least hit the high points that might answer some questions, and then we can open it up for whatever else there might be. So
sure, that'd be great, Steve.
Okay, I'm just gonna scroll through these. And I think I've got a few updates. First of all, there was a question about when a passenger using a mobility device is waiting to board or alight, other passengers should be prevented from boarding the bus. And that is our practice. We instruct our operators, and this is SunTran now, a passenger who's using a mobility device is boarding the bus, whether on their own or with some assistance from us, that we ask the other passengers to refrain from getting on the bus until we've properly secured the mobility device. Doesn't always work, but that's the way we train our folks. So we will get somebody that'll decide they want to go back and get a seat and slide by, but for the most part, I think the public's respectful and our operators understand the importance of doing this first. There was a question about replacing the beeper on the ramp so that people knew the meaning of the beeper, that the warning, and there isn't any technology right now that we can use for that. They looked a couple months ago. Now, we haven't searched in recent months, but our understanding is that there is no technology unless we were to hook up a microphone and a speaker so that the operator could make the announcement. But the operator usually is involved doing other things at the same time. So anyhow, that's so at this point, we're still using the beeper. The third one was making sure passengers knew they had a choice about whether to use the Quantum or not. We have, in response to this question, we have now placed signs on the buses at the mobility device locations that using the Quantum is a choice that the public has. Yeah, Ray?
Steve, that's Ray Jordan here. I've been, Steve, on many buses since this memo. I've not seen a single sign.
Why don't you shoot me an email with the bus numbers? Because I was actually down there a couple weeks ago and saw all of the signs that they're getting ready to install. So if there's something that's been missed, let me know. But and I'll double check that for you too.
You may have seen the signs ready to install, but I've been on, I can't tell you how many routes, several routes, and many, many buses, not seen a single one.
Okay, I will check.
So I can't tell you the bus numbers.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll confirm. I was told they were all installed. I've seen some, but I haven't been on all the buses. So let me make a note here. Right. But I'm happy to confirm that for you, Ray. And I've got your email, so I can shoot you a note when I get things figured out.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. There was a comment about the audible announcements outside the buses, a concern about the varying volume on those. Based on, again, this, we went through and checked the system and found that there were a number of them out of adjustment, and they went through and inspected all of those and adjusted them. From sometimes they come out of adjustment. I'm not exactly sure why, but that should be resolved. And if we hear anything, or if you all hear anything again, just let us know.
This is Commissioner Derbyshire.
Uh-huh.
I can speak directly to that right now because I took the number 4 bus the other week. And when I got, when the bus arrived at the corner of Wilmot and Speedway, there was no audible announcement, period. And so as a blind user, and especially given that that particular bus was running late, I was uncertain if it was the one going to Houghton or the one going to Golf Links. So I had to ask the driver when I got on to make certain that I was getting on the right bus. So the answer is no, those are still not effectively working. And I can also attest to the fact that the internal, whatever it's called, attenuators, right? I think that's what they call it. Those do not announce very loud at all, and sometimes not at all inside the bus to know
that
streets were up. So those are the two things I have in relation to that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, again, let me, my understanding, I know they've gone through those. So, again, you probably don't know, if you can give us detail on the time, we can check those again. That equipment was checked out. They should be working. If there are occasions when it's not, if people can let us know specifically the bus number, but I will. So can you tell me where you were, and maybe it can help me nail down, because we've got a couple hundred buses out there.
So in my particular case, as I just mentioned, I was at the corner, that was the southeast corner of Speedway and Wilmont, and I was boarding a bus approximately just before 4 o'clock, either 3:30 or 4 o'clock, last Thursday, this past Thursday, when I was leaving my eye doctor appointment. And by the way, I mean, you're asking a visually impaired, basically blind person.
Nope, I get it. I just need the location and the time.
Well,
I understand that.
But you know, to look for a bus number, it's not going to happen for me. That's
fine. All you have to do is give me the location and the time. I can take it from there. So if somebody has a bus number, that works. But if not, I can go with the location, time, and direction of travel. And the 13th would have been.
Hey, that was heading towards Houghton and Golf Links. It was the bus that actually hit Houghton. So I got lucky, and I was on the right bus.
Let's see. That would have been on the 9th of May.
That's correct.
Yep. Okay. I'll check it for you. Thank you. A lot of that electronic stuff, especially if the bus is a little older, is old and tends to give us problems, but, we should be able, we get through those then to really, minimize the problems. But I'm going to follow up on both of those things that should have been done on the buses. And Zach, I can shoot you a note.
Sure. And, I can also, if you do not have Commissioner Derbyshire's information, I can, connect you to as well.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Mr. Jordan, I do have a follow-up question related to this specifically, and then I want you to go next. Steve, is there a regular, schedule of either maintenance or checking of these types of, audible recognition systems, or is it just kind of, users need to alert SunTran, when this occurs?
Operators are supposed to conduct a pre-trip inspection.
Okay.
And sometimes I don't know if they'll overlook it. It's highly unlikely that if you've checked it and it worked, that the first mobility device user you try to pick up, it doesn't work. My guess would be they failed to check and see if it was working. So,
okay.
In terms of the signs, we give those to our service department to install on the buses as they're going through the service lane. So what we'll do is go back out with the service department and make sure they've got signs in all the buses. We'll spot check the fleet and make sure they're there. Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make sure what procedures were were required, or how that was taken care of. Yeah. Mr. Jordan, I think you had an additional issue or question that you wanted to identify.
Thank you. Yeah, it's me again. I want to just verify what Wesley has said about the volume of the buses. The original report that we submitted from Cody was mainly about the interior announcements, the next stop announcements, basically. But it does absolutely also include the announcements on the outside of the bus. And I've still been noticing that they are of varying volume from bus to bus. Some are barely audible and some are really quite satisfactory. So I'm suggesting. So I've noticed no change. So I'm suggesting that somebody in maintenance is telling you that they're doing these things, but perhaps they're not.
Well, they don't do that, but that's okay. Yes, I'm wondering. We'll go through and check them again. I know they went through and checked volumes. The volumes are preset. They found a number of them that had been changed and were changing things back and inspecting them. There may be some problem where they're losing that preset, but I'll tell them again. Yeah, our folks, they wouldn't be blowing smoke. I mean, there's something going on beyond that, because I know they went through and inspected the system. So, let me see if I can get their attention.
Yeah. Let me say that I've had numerous discussions with bus drivers as we're going along, and they tell you all kinds of things.
It's exactly so right. Yep. Yeah, a lot of times I consider the source. So, yeah. So in the same instance where you complain to an operator about the volume, they're required to write it up as a defect at the end of the day. So if you do and see it, it should be caught and turned in, and then we have staff working nights that are checking those things and fixing them. So,
I realize, this is Commissioner Coble again. I realize, you know, that would be like internal, like, you know, staff jobs to both write those reports and, you know, have a manager or, you know, other staff member to check to see if those reports, you know, accord with what's happening. Yeah. But is there a way for the public to, in general, check to see if those, like, those reports are being made, or to ensure that those reports are being made?
You need the way to do that is to contact us. If you have a specific situation, contact us and we'll follow up on it. So okay. that's the best way to do it. What we can do, for instance, if you note something, we can follow up. We can see if the vehicle's defective. We can see if, in fact, it was written up by the operator and turned in, and follow up on that. And that's our normal protocol, is to try to understand why something happened. And then if it's happening regularly, it's like, why wasn't it reported so that we could fix it? So,
okay.
And a lot of these things go on when you have a couple hundred vehicles on the street. Some people will, you know, might go days without somebody complaining about something, but the operator should notice the volume on those.
Right. Yeah. Mr. Derbyshire?
Yeah, Commissioner Derbyshire. So I wanted to just step back to the boarding the bus, deboarding the bus, because I sort of have an open question in regards to that I've noticed. I don't understand, so there's the back doors, and technically, you know, people are supposed to depart through the back doors and board through the front doors. Yet, of course, there's the occasion where there's the person who has like a carriage for their baby or, you know, shopping cart that goes out through the front door. But what I don't understand is I thought that the back doors also had the ramp too. No, they don't. I see.
And we board through the front door.
Okay.
And that's the only place you should get on. You can get off at the front door or the rear door.
I see.
And so the real reason for that protocol is that typically in a system, passengers have to pay a fare. And they get out at the front door, pay their fare, do whatever. But we also know, even in this fare-free environment, that one of our de-escalation tactics or strategies is to make sure when people board the front door that the operator greets them and says hello and looks the person in the eye. We know we're less likely to have confrontations with passengers when you do that. So we instruct our operators, do not board passengers through the back door. The other problem with that is a lot of times the back door is a little farther away from the curb.
Well, that was my follow-up question. Is what can be done about that? Because for me, deboarding, I mean, I think maybe I'm answering it rhetorically for myself. Maybe I should just always go out the front door.
Well, you've got that right, and it is closer. So when we we teach an operator to pull into a bus stop to board passengers, we instruct them that the front door should be within 6 inches of the curb. Mm-hmm. The rear door should be less than 12 inches from the curb. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times you can't swing the rear end all the way into the curb. Okay. So those are our guidelines. And those are pretty standard guidelines.
All right, that's good to know. Okay, so that helps me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet.
I would just like to very quickly say, Steve, that my observations back up exactly what you just said. It's 99% of operators do exactly what you just said.
Yep. Yeah, that's a skill they practice. You know, if you don't get that rear end in close, a lot of times the rear end gets clipped by a passing car. So,
just to kind of get us back where we were with the memo, Steve, I think you were on to like the next section would be number 4, if I'm, which had to do with transit advertising.
So. Yes. And we, you'll note in the memo that we kicked that issue over to the city. The city contracts with Lamar Advertising, to sell advertising on the buses. They've got a contract to do that, and it includes the right to do bus wraps. Now, one of the things they can do, and I know Rhett's on, they might have talked to them about it, is you can use a little different screen, a little dense screen that will, improve visibility, from the inside. But typically it's not a matter of saying you can't cover the windows, but it's the gradient of the screening that you can, talk to Lamar about.
Okay.
So, sorry, Rachel, again, is that, is somebody actually, doing that to, is advocating for a screen that has better visibility?
I can't answer that question. I believe they've had the conversations. Rhett may know the answer to that question.
Hi, Ray. Yeah, I can speak with Lamar about that.
Fantastic.
And see what they can do. And then get back with all of you.
Okay. That would be great, since, I mean, that doesn't impede vision for, and, you know, visibility for, people with and without disabilities.
I will tell you, it's a common issue with transit systems everywhere that when they do bus wraps, that they do restrict visibility a little bit. And some people are okay with that. And obviously some people find it more difficult. So
right.
Some people just don't like it because it makes it dark in the bus too. So.
Right.
Number 5 was talking about, proper wheelchair securement.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we had a response in here again that, you know, it's a safety requirement for all our operators, but let me give you an update on what we've done in the last, couple months. We actually had a wheelchair, it's been maybe 3 months ago now, that wasn't secured properly and the chair tipped. Luckily it didn't go all the way over and the passenger wasn't injured, but, we upped our efforts on making sure that everybody knew how to properly secure wheelchairs. So we had what we call a safety blitz, where we handed information to every operator about proper wheelchair securement, both at SunTran and at SunVan. And then we had safety meetings in which we brought chairs in and demonstrated proper wheelchair securement. We actually bought two wheelchair securement platforms so that we now have in our training rooms where we can bring different mobility devices in, and it simulates the inside of a bus, and we can either retrain or train operators on proper mobility device securement, or if we get some kind of a new device, we can actually put the device on our platforms, and then with our training staff, we can work on ways that we can secure them most effectively. And a lot of times you get scooters, for instance, that are more challenging, and what we've really had to do is make sure that our operators know to take those straps and push them as high up on that scooter as you can in order to deal with the center of gravity. The other thing that we've done is we started to experiment with a strap that is mounted on the wall immediately to the right or the left of the wheelchair. And there's a strap that's like the ones on the floor that can come out of the wall and then wrap around the arm of the wheelchair and secure. And what that does is again, it's a fifth point of contact, but it's above the center of gravity, which makes it almost impossible to tip the wheelchair. We thought we were really onto something new, and we were kind of bragging about how we'd found this new point for wheelchair securement, found out that it's a standard practice in Europe, but for some reason they don't do it in the U.S. So much for our patent and getting rich quick. But so we're now starting to install, and you may see these in some of the buses where there's a strap on here that comes around the arm of the chair. So, so what else have we done on wheelchair securement, Sean? I know you guys hit that big at Sunvan.
Yes. Hello, everyone. So at Sunvan, we've kind of thought through our processes lately. And one thing we've done is we've actually created a placard, with a ring that attaches to the mm-hmm. steering wheel. And so at the outset of the boarding process, the mm-hmm. operators are asked to, put that placard on the bottom of the steering wheel, just attach it with the ring. So that it kind of engages their brain that they're starting that wheelchair process. And then they go back to the wheelchair securement area. And we've actually mounted some placards, posters back in that area to alert the clients to the procedure that should be being followed by the operator. In addition to that, we have another card that's very similar to that one that we are showing the client to tell them what we're going to do. So the whole process is designed now to engage the operator, their minds more in what's going on. So there's not just the old system was we just pulled up to location, we went back and secured the client, really no communication about the process with the client, no visual aids, no placard on the steering wheel. So now those things are designed to actually kind of engage the operator and require that they follow a procedure so that the likelihood of forgetting to secure a passenger properly or missing something is much, much reduced. And so that's what we're doing at this time.
And actually, you're right, Sean. I can't that was probably one of the most important things we did. And we do on the fixed route side, too. We've trained the operators to engage the passenger and saying, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to do it. And then saying at the end, how'd I do? And again, on the fixed route side, it's a little more difficult to get, a couple hundred people to do that all the time. But, I think we've really, increased the visibility of the importance of securing mobility devices. We've also trained all of our supervisory staff on the proper methods per Q-strength, and we've asked our supervisory staff to do spot checks of our vehicles on the road and make sure that our operators are using proper techniques.
Mr. Jordan, you go ahead. I do have some follow-up questions, but... floor is yours.
Thank you. as a person who regularly has a lot of experience on as a passenger on both some van and some tram, I would like to tell you that I've never experienced an incorrect wheelchair securement on some van. I'm not necessarily experienced some of that interactive stuff, but all of the drivers have been very well trained securement on some with some van. So I got nothing negative to say at all in that space. However, on some tram, I'm obviously the training is coming from different places. I'm concerned about the training that some tram operators are receiving on wheelchair securement. I've had a long conversation with the SunTran training manager, Myra Ramirez. Is that correct?
That's right.
I came away from that conversation with some concerns. We don't have time to go into the detail, but I would love to discuss that with you, Steve.
That'd be fine. We use the same training techniques. We have the same requirements, and we teach exactly the same thing between SunTran and SunVan. But I'm happy to hear whatever your concerns are.
Yeah, I'm concerned that if that's the case, then why are the outcomes so different?
Well, I can tell you what the outcomes are, and we got operators that don't follow proper procedures. And when we have that and we identify it, then we counsel, coach, and terminate. So, we expect them to operate a safe system, and we will tolerate nothing less. We retrain hundreds of people a year for various things that they're not doing safely, whether it's customer service, wheelchair securement, proper stops. And so they work really hard at getting these folks doing their jobs correctly. And so if you've got, you identify anything on the street that an operator is not doing something properly, then we need to know that, because I can guarantee you that every one of those drivers has had to be in a safety meeting in the last probably 60 days where we've gone through the exact process with multiple devices to make sure that they know how to do it. So again, a phone call with a bus number, tell me what happened. We can pull a video. We can observe how they did the wheelchair securement, and then we can retrain people. So
yeah. I've done that through the correct, you know, the proper procedure through the website and submitting feedback there. And that's how I came to be talking with Ms. Ramirez eventually. But I've reported numerous incidences in times that's only one of them elicited that kind of response. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot of others, and it's a time consuming process to record bus numbers and then go onto the website and submit this.
So with Ray, you got my email. Shoot me an email. Yeah. Bus number at this time.
Okay.
And then I'll push it over to Myra, and then we can still get it followed up on. So we'll keep it really easy for you. So shoot me an email. You know, you give me the date, the bus number, whatever you want to do. You can do it from your phone on the vehicle if you want. And then what I'll do is Myra's like 30 feet away from me. I can take it down and make sure we follow up. Our concern, to be really honest with you, I mean, part of our training, we showed operators videos of wheelchairs tipping from other cities. We said, this is what can happen. People can get killed doing this. And you get lazy and only want to do 3 points of tie down instead of four, then somebody's going to get hurt. And we've really driven the point home and really tried. If we have people out there that aren't doing it, we want to know, because we're not going to tolerate putting somebody at risk. I mean, that's just, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that goes with anybody. My email is on this invitation, so feel free to shoot me an email. We'll chase it down. So, but I'll bet you, Ray, it'll be the same top 10% of our drivers that are doing it. which is the other challenge. I mean, most of our drivers do a really, really good job. So you can help us weed out the people that aren't.
I do have a couple follow-up questions. Steve, with the European style securement, situation, mm-hmm. I know, there has been videos on the SunTran website and SunVan website, I think, of like the quantum secure system.
Right.
Are there thoughts of, posting new videos with like some of the new features? So people who, maybe either like taking like reading about like their options for securement mm-hmm. is maybe not the most accessible way for them to know, they could view those things, or is there like a visual aid that they're seeing when they are seeing how they can be secured, like on the bus or?
Yeah. Part of what Sean was talking about is we've got the placard that we hand the passenger.
Okay.
But then we ask the driver to say, okay, I'm going to fasten the rear clips first. Now I'm going to come around and fasten the front. I'm going to put the shoulder harness lap belt on. We don't ask. We say, this is what we're going to do. And then if they tell us they don't want it, then we don't do it. And that is to, again, because we want to have multiple ways of communicating with people. Some people want it in writing. Others, we want the driver to engage them in the conversation. Now, how many do that? I mean, we treat that as a technique, and part of the reason we do that is we want the driver to remember how to do it and remind themselves on the process. When you look at wheelchair tip-overs and you talk to the operator in which it happened, 99% of the time they forgot. They forgot something. Mm-hmm. It's not that they don't care or the gee whiz. I just thought I'd see what it's like to only fasten the front down for once. And so our checklists, everything we're doing is aimed at helping the operators remember to do their job. I mean, it's sad that you have to do that, but, we try to go to that length so that they're really aware of it. And then we've also told them, with all of these things in place, if you don't secure the device properly, you have a problem, because mm-hmm. there's no excuse for not doing it right, and we're not going to tolerate it. So.
Right. I think I just didn't quite understand what the placard, like what was on the placard there. I'm also curious, like you mentioned that you actually brought in different mobility devices such as wheelchairs into the training room and I got them, so when you're bringing in mobility devices, are you bringing in multiple types? You mentioned scooters. I'm assuming, like, have you done multiple, like, manual wheelchairs, power chairs, scooters, walkers, other assisted devices that might require securement?
I don't think they've ever brought in all of the devices we use, but when we get access to a device, that's new to us, then we're going to try to get those on the, on the stand and make sure that we understand how to do them right. So sometimes I think SunVan, they may do them also in the field where they're mm-hmm. out, have them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, Last question. You mentioned, you know, you won't, like, I appreciate your response about, like, a zero tolerance policy, you know, retraining, and then, yeah, you know, if need be, termination. Has just in general for safety issues, regardless, has termination occurred in cases with operators?
I was being flippant. We discipline people, but, and I'm not going to talk about, I don't talk about personnel actions, but yeah, I can tell you that, in the course of our time, there have been employees who have failed to follow proper safety procedures and they've been terminated. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But that, I mean, we've got a you know, our goal and the goal in discipline is to educate somebody on the proper procedures or the proper behavior. And our concern is that you can run ahead of schedule or you can, you know, do things like that, that we can have three or four conversations with somebody about trying to clean something up. But if we've got somebody that can't seem to, that can't follow proper safety procedures, and we have to act pretty quickly. I've got a call coming in that may be an emergency here. So
okay. If you take that, that's
all right. Well, I'm just gonna here. Go ahead. Got any more questions?
I don't think I had any more questions on that. We were, you know, I think we, the only other thing was like talking about the app. You know, creating a little bit more feedback feature. I don't know if Mr. Jordan or others.
Yeah, one thing I can tell you quickly is that we are moving away from the Trapeze app, and we're starting to look at moving to a brand new app.
Okay.
I don't know the timing on that. And the reason we were talking to Trapeze about improving the app, and they said, they told us they were going in the next several months are going to discontinue supporting the app. So it was a good reason for us to say, okay, we're just going to look elsewhere.
Right. Makes sense. I realize you might have to go, Steve, but perhaps if, like Mr. Jordan has questions, like,
yeah, I think I'm okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Is this an emergency?
Well, okay. Not really. Mr. Jordan,
thank you, Ray Jordan again. The current app this is not what I was going to say originally, but the current app is kind of good, but yes, I would be looking forward to something better.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
So I did have a specific question about the app, but I guess it's fairly redundant now, so I won't worry about that. However, I do want to ask this. Do both SunTran and SunVan keep data regarding incidents on board buses? Like, I guess you might call them ADA related incidents. Mm-hmm. And if so, is it possible that I think that's something that Cody would be interested in on a monthly basis, whether there have been reported incidents, either reported by the customer or by the operator, and what was the resolution to those incidents? I'm sure there are privacy considerations with reporting a lot of detail on how a resolution was resolved. You know, was an operator disciplined or so forth. But I think some generalized data would be very interesting to Cody.
Well, yeah, we won't get into anything with the operators, but we do have a process by which we maintain records on complaints that are ADA related or concerns that are ADA related. I don't have the process right in front of me, but when we get to complaints, we have to investigate them and document them. So we do keep track of that. And if you'd like, I can come back next month with a more specific explanation. And I can probably even give you a summary of, you know, how many of those incidents we've had in the past year, something like that. So,
I'm thinking more in the old days. I mean, I say that my wife used to be a CODI commissioner and was chair for some period of time, 10 and more years ago. And during that period of time, they would receive a monthly report from perhaps SunTran and SunVan regarding incidents, some generalized numbers, how many incidents, and and perhaps categorized and I don't know exactly how that worked now, but something like that I think would be very useful to us.
Do you know how long ago that was being done?
10 years perhaps.
Okay, I was going to say it hasn't happened in the last 7. I know I can. Yeah. I can check and see what kind of, I mean, Sean, do you remember anything like that?
Well, you know, in previous CODI meetings over the years that I've attended meetings, we used to bring kind of a printout of the complaints for the past month or so. And we actually the last 3 months since it was quarterly meetings at that time. So we would bring those and share those with the commissioners. So that's something we did do in the past. And we would basically just print out what we could. And it wasn't, I'm not sure how comprehensive, because some of them didn't apply in a sense to disability, but they might have been complaints that were unrelated, but pretty much we would bring it like a printout basically. And we would hand them out to people that were interested in seeing those. Yeah. But it's been several years.
Back in the days of in-person meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can give you a summary of, and Sean, I think, is talking about customer complaints at SunVan, some of which may be ADA related, some of which may be something else. Mm-hmm. And the process I was talking about was the process where somebody says, I've got an ADA complaint that I was denied access or something like that. So we can maybe the best thing to do is come back to a future meeting and show you what we do in terms of, taking complaints, categorizing them, tracking them, both in terms of general customer complaints and ADA related complaints.
Yeah. This is Commissioner Coble. I think that's a great idea. Mr. Jordan, I did see that you might be ready to speak. I know monthly, if we were to connect with you all monthly, that might, CODI has other non-transportation, related subject matter we're covering, but, it seems like we're, talking to SunTran representatives possibly on a quarterly basis anyway. Maybe we can establish a regular quarterly.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that. Yep.
Process. So, Mr. Jordan, would that, would that type of regularity kind of get at some of what you'd be going for?
Quarterly works fine for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Another follow-up question there. So initially we were talking there about customer complaints. There are other incidents, I guess, that happen on transit that may not, that are ADA related, but may not be reported by customers. Would that get included in your data?
I don't know that you'd have to help me understand. Somehow it would have to get reported to us. So one thing, for instance, might be when an operator reports that all of the mobility device securement spaces are full and I had to turn somebody away. Those kind of things are supposed to be reported. But that might be, I'm struggling to understand. If you've got some examples, I'd be happy to try to categorize them for you or grab them. Yeah.
Well, that's actually one really good example that had not occurred to me. But that would be a really interesting data point to be looking at.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often. But
yeah. And perhaps a tip over or a near miss that an operator may report that's not reported by a customer. It's difficult to say what percentage of incidents, and I'm not sure exactly how to describe an incident, you know, in general, but how many times something happens on a bus that a customer does not report?
It kind of depends on what you're talking about. There are some things that if somebody gets on and has bad body odor or is acting up or playing the radio too loud, you know, you'll get complaints about that. Incidents of improper wheelchair securement or tipping chairs, assaults, all those kinds of things are really, really rare, in the system. So, and those, the things that rise to the level of being serious are clearly reported. It's the other little things that it's really hard to get a handle on. And I'll give you an example of, you know, and I think I shared it with this group before, you know, there's some thought about how, you know, it's unsafe to ride the bus because there's so many assaults going on. Last year we averaged one assault per 500,000 miles of operation. Mm-hmm. They're rare. You hear people talk about them, but they're a lot, you know, they're a lot fewer than you'd think. We've had, you know, that wheelchair that we had get loose on us on SunTran was the first time in a long, long time that we've had improper securement that's resulted in some kind of an incident. Mm-hmm. The question is, how many times do we have improper securement? And that's why we're asking our supervisors to do spot checks, because that's what really gives you a sense of, of the risk that's out there.
I'm going to say that I've probably reported 20% of the improper securement incidents that I've experienced. Uh-huh. I wouldn't consider any of them, well, actually, they're all potentially dangerous, but none of them amounted to any actual danger. But
well, and so, yeah. You know. And so when we train our operators, what we've done is we've put up a video. And we use one from Santa Maria, California, and we say, we want you to watch this. And we watch a wheelchair tip over on the vehicle. And the thing that we share with them is this person fastened 3 out of 4, of the straps. You miss one. This is the kind of thing that could happen. So you could try to save yourself 10 seconds. That could cost somebody their life. Do you understand? And when you talk about it, yeah, they hear you. When they watch that wheelchair go over and they understand how helpless that person is because they're not mobile. I mean, they can't take care of themselves when they start to lose control. Then it starts to hit home. And so our tactic is kind of scare the shit out of them, if that's what we have to do. sorry. I get it.
No worries. I do want to cut in, just because, like, if I want to, make sure we have other, like, we have a few other agenda items on our agenda, that I want to respect. But if other CODI members, you know, have last comments or questions, before we kind of move on, please let us know. Mr. Jordan, like, I know you may have other stuff, but I just want to make sure we have a few moments for the other things. Okay. Thank you. Any other final comments, questions, or concerns from, well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on. Thank you for regularly meeting with us and being, you know, kind and informative. We really appreciate it, because I know you're all busy civil servants, and you know, the work of government never stops.
Well, we're happy to join you, and you know, the next time we can come give you an update on our Sunvan operational analysis. We're in the middle of doing that, so
that'd be great. So let's tentatively think about that for August, which I can connect with you all about what that specific date.
Well, that could be perfect. That could be perfect timing too. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. I will definitely follow up on that. All right. So
great. And I will get back to you on signs and volume. So I'll follow up on that and find out just exactly what happened. And
I will get back to you on the gradient for the advertising.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Red. And thanks, Sean, for coming. Appreciate it.
And don't be shy about emailing us.
Yeah. I don't think we will be.
That's okay. I'd rather have it every day than one time 3 months later. So feel free to share it. We'll follow up. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
See y'all.
Thank you.
Okay. See you. Bye.
Bye.
So thanks, everyone. I realize that we do have a couple of substantive Cody level agenda items, but I failed to address agenda item number 3, a call to the audience, where the public gets to make comments or voice concerns that they may have. I would like to at least offer that because I know there may be, there may be at least one person I know, I don't know their affiliation on the call. So I wanted to make sure if there's a member of the public that needed to speak to concerns that they have had this time to do that. Okay. Doesn't appear that's going to be necessary. But I just wanted to provide that since I skipped that initially. So the next discussion would be agenda item number 5, discussion by Cody members on potential outreach to mayor, council, and city manager. So to review for member Cody commissioners who may not have attended our last meeting, I believe Commissioner Espadas brought up a great point and interesting idea that, you know, we've been doing these memorandums and reports for several months now on different topics. With regard to public transit, it seems to, and housing and HR policy. And we've sent them to mayor and council and we've received responses. In that sense, it is, we are actually getting feedback from, city civil servants, which is the point, part of the point. But, you know, we have not presented them in person to mayor and council. Or, unless you all are individually talking to your city council members, city manager, or the mayor, we're not meeting with our folks who are appointing us. One of the area, like, we discussed a couple different approaches. One approach was the idea to try to get an agenda item at a city council meeting to present, to present as a commission on what we are doing and, to speak and to receive feedback from mayor and council and, city manager. Another avenue, that I think I brought up was, trying to schedule individual meetings, like one-on-one meetings with our council members that we represent
or the mayor or city manager, depending on how you're appointed. When I was doing some research, you know, both in terms of how mayor and council, like how one, you know, how the agenda for city council is created, and then speaking with, you know, some individual folks about that process, it seems like a majority of council has to agree on the agenda ahead of time, which makes sense. You know, the council's only got so much time. The problem with that for Cody is that there's so many possible agenda items that council members can wait months and up to a year before their individual ask for a specific agenda item comes actually on the agenda. So that may not be the most, and we'd have to ask a specific council member or mayor to do that. So that may not be the most effective initial action. What may be more effective is reaching out to our individual members, council members, mayor, city manager, if we have a city manager appointee, and asking for a meeting with that person or a staff, a relevant staff person, and going over some of these things. I have some ideas of how we could structure that and things, but I want to gather feedback from you all as commissioners on what you think, you know, after some, I summarize that, what you all think. So.
Okay, I'll go. It's Ray Jordan here. I think that perhaps you are right that speaking with directly the council member or body that's appointed us individually to the commission might be the most effective method of getting a sense of what our council member or other body has as priorities in the disability world, and also for us individually to make our priorities known. Might be a more personal and more effective manner. Just my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Jordan. Ms. Krager, your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of second what Congressman, excuse me. Why not, right?
Someday.
What Ray was talking about. I think that for each of us to spend some time with some of the individual council members would be great. And then I also think it would be nice to, after that is done, to then do a presentation at a meeting so that everybody kind of hears, you know, what we found and what our conversations were, so that we can have sort of a general report that we make. So I kind of like the idea of both.
Mm-hmm. Hear that? Mr. Spadas, Mr. Derbyshire, Ms. Bogan, do you have thoughts? Cause I have, you know, responses or ideas of how kind of next steps,
I think doing both makes sense because one, starting that relationship, but as you mentioned, like the timeline, it's kind of like, let's get something in so that in a year we can reserve a space. Kind of a thing, but also, yeah, it's going to be more effective if we have a relationship and a champion to get us on the agenda. So I think going kind of both ways in a particular manner, I think in a lot kinder manner than I may have thought last month because I was aggravated. So it's a good thing we have a month to wait and think things through and rely on each other to provide guardrails for our behavior.
That's right.
Mr. Derbyshire, it looked like you had thoughts as well.
Yeah, Commissioner Derbyshire. So yeah, my thought is that first off, I mean, I'm still kind of new to this group, so I'm not mm-hmm. sure what I would personally have to say, you know, to Ward 2, Paul Cunningham, my representative who appointed me, other than, you know, what's personally in my mind and what's dear to my heart. And I think what I'm trying to say is if we're going to these various committee members, or even the mayor or city or the city manager, et cetera, it might be wise for us to actually have our an agreed upon overall agenda so that we all can sort of have the same idea to share. Is kind of where I'm coming from. In a sense, a consensus out of this group. We might say it differently from each of us, but at least it would be a consensus and we wouldn't be all over the map. Now, and that's my two cents on it. I just want to comment. I actually happened to be in a luncheon meeting with Paul Cunningham the other week. But that was for, you know, slightly unrelated, to this. I mean, but we did have conversations around Sunban and other issues at that
thing. Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Ms. Krager, I did see you. I want to hear your comment, and then I can follow up with Mr. Derbyshire's idea of being on the same page, and I have a response and an idea I was thinking for that. But Ms. Krager?
I just want to reinforce that notion that this really should be about conversations relative to what we've been talking about on CODI, sort of issues and recommendations, and that I mean, obviously not that we couldn't talk about, you know, personal experiences, but I guess I'm not sure that we should, that should be the main focus. In fact, I think it should be avoided a little bit, that this really should be us representing CODI and CODI's work. So that we should have some common talking points and be somewhat on the same page relative to the issues and the strategies and solutions, I would think. Again, not that we aren't different. I don't mean that, but I think we should have, you know, some common agenda items.
Right. So in the interest of time, like what I was going to propose. So there's a couple things. I am happy to draft and work with other commissioners outside of this meeting to draft common, I can come up with a better term, but common talking points that we can use. Now, you know, there'd be no expectation that everyone would follow the same template because we're all individual people with our own perspectives. And that's what we bring to CODI. But I'm happy to draft, you know, some thoughts, some ideas, and then maybe next meeting we can come back and, you know, we can all comment and come to some sort of consensus or agreement on what, you know, if those talking points look good, if there's other things, and then maybe some goals that we want to see out of that meeting, you know, some ways that we know we have been successful. The other thing I will say that I'm trying to do kind of interrelated to this is like, a new city manager has just been appointed or will be appointed, pretty quickly. His name is Tim Thermeyer, which I may be mispronouncing. Do apologize to him. But I have reached out to his office to see if he would attend, the commission meeting. Next month or in July, depending on the outcome of, that outreach, if he's able to come on, that could also you know, assist us in what we want to put, go back to our appointers with in terms of the meeting. So I will update, you know, commissioners on that. And if I don't hear from him or if he's unable to attend next month, you know, then we have like other, you know, other folks that we've wanted to reach out to, such as the ADA coordinator, code enforcement, planning and development, you know, as other topics. And then we can also discuss the talking points.
Commissioner Bogan?
Yes, Ms. Bogan, I'm sorry if you've been waiting.
Quick question, and I probably should know the answer to this, but when you write your reports and we vote on it and it goes out, mm-hmm. does it only go out to mayor or does it go out to mayor and all council members?
It goes out to all council members as well as the mayor. And like the city manager, you know, and the relevant city
employees.
Because, okay. Yeah. Yeah. We wouldn't, I don't know that, I mean, I guess, you know, if we voted, I don't know that we would need a formal, we might need a formal, we can figure that out in the next meeting if we need a formal motion to say these are the talking points or we just want to informally agree. But, you know, I'm happy to write that individually, but if there are volunteers, you know, from the commission that would like to assist with that, now would be the time. So.
I will volunteer to be an assistant. Ray Jordan speaking, just to clarify.
Okay, cool. Mr. Jordan, I will reach out to you probably over the weekend, over the course of the weekend to initiate a conversation on this. Okay. Seeing or hearing no other volunteers, you know, if anyone gets an itch, I think you all have my email address or can get it from Stephanie. So please reach out and we will address that. I'm excited. The next agenda item is in follow-up, and I don't know if we have quite enough time to do this, but we'll see how far we get to. Follow-up in relation to some of, like, things we could do in relation to introducing ourselves or having people introduce themselves onto meetings, onto CODI meetings, and to make it more accessible and inclusive process. As it relates to visual descriptions for members that, you know, are blind or might have a vision disability or members of the public for that matter. Gender pronouns, if that is something that, you know, we want to address, as a commission. You know, both things are, values that, like, I've done in meetings, and am happy to do, but I'd like to hear thoughts on A, maybe what would be needed, and B, you know, how people feel about it. And then I will.
Commissioner Bogan.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts with audio description is if it's not already in every video or picture, then it can be described by someone who has sight. Mm-hmm. I've been in meetings in the past where it's just the person presenting will describe what's happening in the video or in the slide that is being shown. Mm-hmm. As for pronouns, I'm all for calling each other commissioner, and we don't have to bother with any of the other pronouns. Those are my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Bogan. Other member thoughts? Commissioner Craker, let me.
The pronoun thing is kind of puzzling to me. Maybe it's because I'm old, but I'm wondering, is there a way that we can just use neutral pronouns for everybody, or is that upsetting to folks? I mean, I know that in other boards I've been on, I made the suggestion that we just use they, them, their, and that didn't fly very well. So again, I'm not quite sure why. I'm sort of a believer in universal design, but apparently, there's just politics around it, I'm sure, and that even just the they, their, them sends a, you know, maybe a message or a identity that folks are not wanting. I don't know. I'm just wondering if that's possible. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Jordan?
Yeah. I've been in a ton of meetings and groups where gender identity has been important to some people and not to others. And I think that's probably the way we would find it in this setting here, is that if somebody amongst us, or in the future even perhaps, or a visitor to the meeting feels that there are a gender identity is an important thing to be acknowledged, they will let us know. I think otherwise, you know, we just do what we do. And to be respectful bottom line is, I think we need to be respectful of that. My opinion, of course. I'm not talking for anybody else but myself. And so if somebody feels strongly that they about their gender identity and they've got a specific pronoun that they would like to be used for themselves, then I would be all for that. And if people don't care, well, I don't either.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Mr. Espadas or Mr. Derbyshire or Commissioner Espadas, Commissioner Derbyshire, I gotta stop.
I like the idea of the visual description. I've just always enjoyed it when someone else has done it. I am a little scared that I don't have the skills that I've seen other people use. But I'm all for trying with the idea that, yeah, I sometimes forget that other people can't see. And so that's a good reminder of, you know, that there's other perspectives that I need to bring along. With that in mind, I don't use gender pronouns, but I respect the use from others. So I do like Commissioner Bogan's comment of, why don't we just call each other commissioner? One of the things that does confuse me is I don't think I ever really have an occasion where I use a pronoun to describe someone. So using, you know, just commissioner, or when it does come to referring to someone externally, they, just even grammatically, seems appropriate.
Okay.
Commissioner George.
Thanks for that. Yeah, Wesley.
Yeah, so wrapping it up, going back to Commissioner Bogan's remarks, I'm also on the same camp of just that we call each other commissioner. I have no issue with that. I do not use any gender specific things for my name. I'm just my name, Wesley Derbyshire, when I, you know, hang with people and such. You know, I teased for a while of using dude just to be sarcastic, and then I even stepped away from that because it just wasn't the right thing for me. Right. But As for the audio description, of course, being visually impaired, I'm all in favor of that and such. So, yes, bring it on where it's necessary. And then that's where I stand. So, Commissioner Derbyshire, thank you.
So to wrap it, like to kind of try to, I think there was areas of consensus and then some areas that maybe, would need clarification, but I don't know that we're going to get clear, like we have time to, go through all the scenarios possible. Maybe from like, so I think I do have a kind of a follow-up question maybe for our members with who consider themselves blind or have a visual disability. So there's audio descriptions in a presentation, but also, in other meetings I've been a part of, participants in the meeting will actually describe what they look like themselves before speaking. Would that be welcome, needed, helpful?
Commissioner Bogan?
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for Wesley, but for me, I keep my video off all the time unless someone specifically asks me to turn it on. It's not a concern of mine what people look like, and if anything, I would rather them not describe themselves because that's just not natural.
Okay.
In a meeting. So, yes, I'd rather people not describe themselves.
Okay.
Commissioner Derbyshire, I'm also in favor with, I see it's not essential.
Okay.
Not important to me.
Okay. That's very helpful to know at this point. So what I think I'll do is when I we can refer to each other as our first names or commissioner to with the pronoun, and then if there's other folks who join us Steve Spade or Red or Sean, guests or members of the public, we can just refer to them by their first name, and then maybe I'll just make it when I call the meeting to order. If people have pronoun preferences, I will ask them to edit their name in the team's profile to indicate those preferences, and just say, if you don't have a preference, we're going to call you by your name or a neutral pronoun such as they, them. So they're aware. I will put that as a general practice, maybe not a enforceable policy at this point.
Commissioner Cobble, Commissioner Derbyshire here, please be aware that in my case, I won't really easily be able to read those changes on the screen with this particular app. Just
thank you. Thank you, Wesley. I will, if folks speaking, do have those, those indicators, maybe I will have them also announce their pronouns, at that point, because that will be, they will have obviously made that indication, purposefully. So that would make it at least accessible or as accessible as it can be. So, but thank you for that information, because all types of platforms for video conferencing work slightly differently. Okay. I think that covers that agenda item. Do people have announcements? We have about 5 minutes left, so maybe one very short announcement per person. Mr. Jordan. I think you might be on mute. And Ray, sorry.
I was on mute. Sorry. My bad.
I attended the Plan Tucson meeting. It was a large meeting. It was at the Tucson Convention Center 3 weeks ago now. And it was a meeting with all of the working groups together. And they're working on policies and commenting on the policies that are being formulated that will be basically Plan Tucson. And I'm a little disappointed that the policies seem to be somewhat confused. There were some good ones in there, but they were trying to pair apples and oranges together. And just there was a whole bunch of stuff that just wasn't working right. I made my opinions known to everybody who would listen. I'm not sure how far I got with that, but that's mm-hmm. yeah. I don't know where to go from that too, because everybody else has got another opinion different to mine.
Yeah, I understand that, Mr. Jordan. Like, if you want to coordinate with me, maybe we can coordinate an agenda item for next month or in the next couple months for both, like, Complete Streets agenda, like, report, and then a Plan Tucson, since they're somewhat adjacent and related, and we could, you know, have a little more time dedicated to each of those things than the announcements. Do other folks have announcements that they want to offer?
Commissioner Derbyshire, I attended a focus group for Sunvan and the COA thing, which I thought was a pretty productive meeting. It lasted about an hour, and instead of just the standard survey that they put out online or that you could take verbally, they elaborated on some of the questions and delved deeper into certain issues that especially focused on vision impaired people and ridership and such like that. And actually, I learned a few things out of that meeting, you know, such as, you know, the issues that are faced with the blind users who are riding with dogs and stuff like that. They don't have that issue with Sunvan, but they certainly have that issue outside, you know, for using Uber and such like that. And, you know, because there's some consideration of having rideshare as part of the program down the line, you know, and such. So it was a very productive meeting, and I was glad to attend and participate. I hope that our comments will be useful to them.
Thank you, Commissioner Derbyshire. Any last announcements from any of the other commissioners?
I do have one more. I'm sorry. This is really short. I mentioned earlier. Sorry, Derek. who made a rat's gesture for those who didn't pick that up. I mentioned earlier that I had discussion with the SunTran training manager, Ms. Ramirez, and I didn't feel that the SunTran representative today, Steve Spade, took my concerns seriously, so I will be following up on that.
Good, that's good to know, and you know, lead on, Ms. Ray. Hope you know we can coordinate future Cody action. I think I did want to see the responses that Steve and I believe Sean and Rhett were going to issue on the advertising and other areas of concern before we take additional action. But we can coordinate that, like, additional action in the coming months. So I will be giving a Complete Streets update next meeting. I knew transportation was going to take a while, so that is why that was not part of the agenda today. If there's no other burning announcements, I'm going to adjourn this meeting as we are 5 o'clock on the dot. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Stephanie, for bearing
thank
with
you.
Us.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.